Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Thursday. Swear, everyday stories break. Live in L.A., it's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, FS1, Greg Cosell in 1 hour. If you like betting on football, fantasy football, watching football, get smarter about football, Greg Cosell in 1 hour. Joy Taylor is joining me. Now Brett Favre is saying Aaron Rodgers is out of here. Baker's off social media.
It's a lot going on today, including the end of an era officially in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Big Ben. Where sometimes these stories just line up perfectly for me. So I want to start with this. I think it's fascinating, the psychology of sports and the ego and the money, and these are all very young people, right? And it's a lot to ask for young athletes to be on social media. People are ripping them. They make a lot of money. They're on commercials. They're famous. They probably like being famous. But there's a lot of scrutiny. And we see what social media does to people. And it's much harder to be a pro athlete today in terms of the blowback than it was in Michael Jordan's era. LeBron gets hate all day. Jordan, they don't even show his missed shots on SportsCenter. But what is fascinating about Green Bay is that Aaron Rodgers, the cool Southern California guy, Northern California guy, and Aaron Rodgers, good old Southern boy, they've become the same guy as they've aged in Green Bay. All they do is talk retirement early, want to be catered to, play the victim, straddle the fence between retirement and playing for another team. Two scoops of victimhood. Totally different personalities, totally different cultures they grew up with. And yet these two quarterbacks in the same franchise, good franchise, have become the same guy. I swear to God, it's the same guy. And Brett Favre was talking about it. He was on radio this week talking about Aaron Rodgers' future, and he called it.
I think we may have seen the last of Aaron in Green Bay. I don't know that for certain. It's just a gut. You know, he may try his hand somewhere else now. Nowadays, guys play a lengthy career with a team and move on. So it's, you know, not uncommon for guys to switch teams after a long, productive career somewhere else. And my advice would be, if your gut's telling you, well, you know, I want to try my hand somewhere else, it's kind of gotten stale here or stagnant or you know, numb, whatever the feeling is, then go give it a try. I think sometimes it's reinvigorating.
He's not talking about Aaron. He's talking about himself. That's what he felt. And Aaron and Favre have grown closer over the years. They had a very prickly relationship. Ask yourself why they've grown closer. Because it's the same life experience. Let me explain. The cheese curds are not doing this. I would call it the Packer quarterback syndrome. You don't have an owner to sometimes overspend, knock on his door, fly in his private jet. Let's make the deal happen. You don't have the ability to land top free agents. A lot of dudes don't want to live there. So as a Packer quarterback in a massive organization that's well run, you're going to win a bunch of games. The networks like Fox are going to put you on. You're going to become beloved in America. And when you don't win those big games, both Favre and Rodgers feel like I'm playing against the stacked deck here. You know, Brady and Manning and those guys have a full deck of cards. I don't have any kings. I lost my jacks too. I lost all my face cards. I don't have an owner to fight for me. I don't have a Robert Kraft. I don't have a Jim Irsay. I don't have a Pat Bowlen in his prime. I don't have the Rooneys. I can't go knock on a door. I can't get free agents. Here comes the victimhood. And both Favre and Rodgers privately feel trapped, start talking retirement, and they both know that this position is graded overwhelmingly on Lombardi trophies. That's why Dan Marino may be as great a talent at quarterback as anybody ever. If you didn't see him play, it was unbelievable. But he gets discarded in the great quarterback discussion. He's got no trophies. It's not the cheese curds. Two totally different personalities have become the same guy as they've aged. I would call it the Packer quarterback syndrome. Both privately resentful, biggest name in the state. You start losing the occasional games, especially at home. You take all the heat, and you're saying to yourself, I don't have a Robert Kraft. I can't get free agents here. Favre moved, and there is increasing dialogue today, sometimes from Aaron, that he's moving. It's really interesting. It's fascinating to me. Why these two quarterbacks? Why this franchise? That's the downside to being unique. Artists want to be unique. Actors want to be unique. Green Bay is unique. It's a tiny town. It's not even big enough to be a great college town. It's a tiny town. It's totally unique. But the downside to being unique is when you don't win, people start rolling their eyes. You can't win. It's a tiny town. Who wants to play there? Weird. It's like the post office in 2022, Green Bay. It's like they're still looking stamps and writing letters. It's the Packer quarterback syndrome. It's fascinating to me. Why in the world would these two quarterbacks, such disparate personalities, become the same guy? Literally. The Southern guy, the NorCal guy, the Hollywood guy, the hunt and fish guy, same guy. All right, Big Ben officially is retiring. We knew this some time ago, right? You knew it, I knew it, everybody knew it, but he'd released a video on social. I didn't know Big Ben did a lot of social. And it's funny about Big Ben, people think I'm very, very critical of Ben Roethlisberger. And I have said before, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Two Super Bowls, eight division titles, all sorts of records. And he will be, I believe, very fondly remembered 20 years from now. 20 years from now, he's going to be two Super Bowls, a big statue out in front of the stadium, top five passing yards, top 10 passing touchdowns, Hall of Famer. But the truth is, if you lived through the last 10 years to 12 years, it was a lot of bumpy. There was a lot of turbulence. He couldn't beat Brady. He couldn't beat Peyton in the big games. He couldn't beat, at the end, Mahomes in the big games. And the minute Joe Burrow walked into the division, see you, Ben, that's mine too. It was mostly the last decade wins over an overwhelmingly awful Bengals franchise, Brown franchise, and Ben felt like a lot of the last several years he was just holding on as he quickly eroded. It's very Marlon Brando. A lot of you young people don't know who Marlon Brando was. People in their 50s do. In the rearview mirror, he's an all-timer. But the last 15, 20 years of Marlon Brando were weird. He put on, like, a lot of weight, made poor choices, had some bad movies, was impossible to work with. But the movie poster is top five of all time. The movie poster of Ben is going to be great, but we have to distance ourselves from it. Because as Breeze ended pretty elegantly, getting to the playoffs, getting the most out of himself, as Brady ends elegantly, winning Super Bowls, Peyton Manning goes to Denver, wins Super Bowls. You know, Aaron's getting older. He's still 13-3. Name the last time Big Ben won a big playoff game out-dueling another top quarterback, and we led the show with it Monday. Google it. We did. Keep looking. It's 12 years ago. Joe Flacco, divisional round. I'm not going to give you any love for a wild card round win. And I don't even consider Flacco, you know, to be a top guy. He was pretty good quarterback. So it's got that Marlon Brando feel where eventually you look at it and go, oh, that is just unbelievable. But if you were sitting around for the last 15 years, Marlon Brando, like, they had Letterman skits on it. It was like a running joke. He became a caricature of himself. And I've said that about Big Ben. I'm not being critical of him. Super Bowls, division titles, going to have a statue, Hall of Fame, passing yards. But that last 10 years, that was a turbulent flight. And there's just not a lot of Mondays. We came on and went, wow, he out-dueled Brady, Mahomes, Manning. And he had, along the way, he had great defenses, which Aaron Rodgers hasn't had. Peyton Manning almost never had. And he has a great coach and a great owner and a great GM. All the stuff that privately Aaron Rodgers and Favre complain about, owner has it. Free agents, get them. Defense, always. Division, cruddy. So I'm not anti-Ben. I just think there are certain actors, certain stars, certain quarterbacks that we remember fondly, but we got to be honest, it was bumpy. Really bumpy and kind of underachieving. I do believe if you gave Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes, Mike Tomlin, that drafting, those receivers, that defense, that division, you'd have had a lot more wins and more Super Bowls. You can think two things, as Joy says, at the same time. He's great, left a lot out there. All right, good stuff today. Really like where we're at. So I'm going to try to be nice about this. Baker Mayfield's been in town for the last couple of weeks. He's got surgery here in Los Angeles. And he's hanging out where I used to live, although I was there last night. And people are like, I just saw him. You should come down here, have some beers. I'm like, I'm wishing him the very best in his rehab. But for years and years, people used to say, Colin, he is in your head. Well, I'm still on social media today. He has tapped out. Baker Mayfield, that topic next, The Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, you're now entering the No Bull Zone, sponsored by Credible. Great rates with none of the bull. So Baker Mayfield is in Los Angeles now. He got his rehab on his shoulder, right? He's doing that, and he should. And as I've said many times before, he's not my kind of franchise quarterback. He is a franchise quarterback. I think the media in Cleveland was unduly harsh in the last 6 weeks. The kid was falling apart. He was tough. He was playing through pain. He's obviously better than what we saw in the last 6 weeks. I think he's going to go back. I think he's going to play well next year early. I don't think he's Joe Burrow. I don't think he's Herbert. I don't think he's Josh Allen or Mahomes. I don't. I never did. But he's a franchise quarterback. And I think people got too hard. And I felt like I was being like more reasonable at the end of the year. The kid's just hobbling around with a bad shoulder. You could see the ball come out with no velocity. But this is interesting. So Baker basically yesterday said, I'm signing off social media. And, you know, that's you do whatever you want. It's yours. And my daughter doesn't use it nearly as much as she did, you know, 2 years ago. I would advise most young people to, it's going to be vile. It's a toilet. Don't spend too much time on it. But this is all 100% self-induced. It's like Aaron Rodgers complaining about nobody likes me. Everybody's rooting against me. Well, you criticized a sitting president, doesn't matter if it's a liberal conservative. You criticized the vaccines, Fauci, the sitting president. You got into fistfights with the media. You're banging on the Packers front office. You don't have a private life. You talk about everything every week. These are polarizing topics. Shocker. You polarize issues and you're polarizing. That's why State Farm dropped Aaron Rodgers off their commercials for a couple of weeks. They didn't want to be involved in it. So Aaron Rodgers, don't wade into polarizing topics and then complain that nobody likes you. Same with Baker Mayfield. Battled the media, battled me until the Browns told him stop reacting to Cowherd. They did. Battling all sorts of people. Snarky this, calling out the medical staff, called out Duke Johnson. Shocker. Those are polarizing things to do. I use a term all the time. It's called quarterback eel. And this was always my knock on Jay Cutler. It has been my knock on Jameis Winston, Cam Newton a little bit, Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. They're not quarterback eel. Be humble. Keep your private life private. Fall on the sword for your teammates if you have to. Stay mostly in your lane. Talk football, maybe family. Be focused on football. It's called quarterback eel. It's why I said this. I was not a fan of Trump. He wasn't presidential. There are certain jobs. I don't want my president weaponizing social media. I don't want my quarterbacks weaponizing social media. You're the face of a franchise. You're a second coach on the field. stay out of those topics. But both with Rodgers and Mayfield, they waded into it, and now they're like, I don't like the repercussions of it. Then don't wade into it. Because I'll never sign off social media. Joe Rogan will never sign off social media. Nick Wright will never sign off social media. We are in the polarizing business. We are paid to give strong opinions and to have to deal with hate. It's my business, right? Like, I have to be in this stuff. It elevates, it promotes, it markets. But this is why I banged on Johnny Manziel out of college, Baker out of college, Jameis Winston out of college. The NFL, it's unfair. We ask a 23-year-old kid to be as mature as a 43-year-old man, and it stinks and it's not fair. But that's why scouts, that's why New England took Johnny Manziel off their board. He just couldn't handle it, just wasn't a grown-up. Cam Newton wasn't as bad as that, but he wasn't always the most focused, and it was a lot about him. It's got to be about your teammates. You're already going to get all the love, and you're going to get all the money. I mean, quarterback is the royal family in America now. Like, it's not politicians. Quarterbacks are now like NBA stars and international soccer stars. They're making $40 million a year. They got commercials everywhere. Everybody knows you're the rich guy. Be humble. Buy them nice Christmas presents. Buy them lawnmowers and rings and vacations for their families and quarterback eel. So in both Aaron's case and Baker, they wade in the fights and they don't like the repercussions. I've never been in a fight in my life because I don't go to bars and get into fights. Like, you can avoid fights. Don't get into fights because a lot of times you lose fights. And in both Aaron and Baker's case, they don't like the result of their snarkiness, of their independence, of their lead with a chin. I mean, Aaron, you're talking about a sitting president. It's 2022. You're going to get clobbered. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican president or a liberal president. It doesn't matter. You start banging on presidents, you have become divisive. That's why if I had a State Farm deal and I was making $20 million a year in State Farm, that I'm making my money off the field. It's like NBA guys in shoe deals. I don't even need it now. If I can make money in shoe deals and basketball, State Farm or whatever, and football, I don't need to goose up my Instagram and make another $1 million a year. It's just a place. Mostly the great quarterbacks either have somebody else, a team running their social, or they just stay off it. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Okay, so there's been some coaching movements over the last 24 hours. Yeah. So I'm going to try and break down some of the hires and some of the news that's just come down. So the Broncos are on the verge of hiring Packers offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett.
I love that move.
As their head coach. Hackett and the Broncos are finalizing a deal this morning after contract talks heated up last night. That's according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Adam Schefter reported this morning that the Bears are reportedly hiring Colts defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus.
I have concerns about that. He's very, very good. All my sources love him. I am deeply concerned about organizations that can be chaotic with a second-year quarterback. The league is clearly changing, and you go defense. He better get the offensive coordinator right. And we've seen increasingly these defensive coaches do not have the relationships with offensive guys, and they whiff on about half of their OC hires.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with a defensive coordinator as a hire for head coach, but you have to absolutely nail your offense. Your offensive coordinator has to be good enough to be a head coach.
That's a good way to put it. Zimmer couldn't do it. Tomlin right now has got one that doesn't work. Pete Carroll swung and missed. You know who never swings and miss on the OC? McVay and Andy Reid. Offensive coaches have more offensive relationships. There's a reason that Matt LaFleur, Shanahan, and McVay were best friends.
Yeah.
There was no defensive guys in their poker games. I mean, that's the way it works.
So they're spending all your time together. Longtime Cardinals reporter Mike Jarecki just reported that Cardinals executive Adrian Wilson will become the next GM of the Jaguars, replacing Trent Baalke.
Okay, so you know what that means.
Byron Leftwich will likely
the job.
Be
yes.
The head coach. Apparently, Leftwich reportedly gave them a him or me ultimatum to keeping Trent Baalke, so they moved on from Trent Baalke. They reportedly interviewed Vic Fangio today, but it's likely now, especially with this move, that with Baalke leaving, that Leftwich is going to get that job.
Yeah, well, that's, yes. So basically, it hasn't happened yet, but Leftwich said, I'll take it.
But you have to get rid of Volke.
Yeah, I'm not going to, because Volke's reputation is he's very rigid, very stubborn. He can be very condescending. I don't know him, but he and Harbaugh battled big time. That's his reputation. Fair enough.
Jacksonville fans were reportedly not huge fans of him either.
Yeah, their draft last year, I felt it was sort of an Urban Meyer-led draft, but maybe I'm wrong. It felt like he was, I mean, they went and got the blocking tight end from Ohio State. That felt like an Urban Meyer pick.
Yeah. So they report, according to multiple sources, the Dolphins are the favorite to land Brian Daboll as their next head coach.
Now, this is interesting. I kind of like, well, first of all, we like Brian Daboll.
Yes.
But again, whether Tua is the guy or not, he'll get the most out of Tua.
He will.
And Flores and Chris Greer, say what you want, built a hell of a defense. So he walks in, his side of the ball needs help. The other side is really strong. So that I like this. Now, first of all, I like Daboll and I like an offensive coach. He'll get the most out of Tua, which is what we have to do. But this is really interesting because it's a really smart move by the Dolphins, and they don't make always smart moves. They've kind of fixed the defense over the last 2 years. The personnel is really good.
Yeah. They have a very functional defense. Look, I cannot sit here and pretend to be excited about anything the Dolphins do anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I wish Brian Daboll the best if he gets the job. And, you know, I think it's the right hire. I think they should go offense. If you're going to choose Tua over Brian Flores, then you need to do everything that you can to elevate Tua to whatever he's capable of being. So Brian Daboll would be an amazing hire in that spot.
So this is interesting. So Daboll was up for the Giants and the Dolphins. And I think about this, which would I take? I would take the Dolphins job.
I would take the Dolphins job because the Giants are in a complete, and we're about to talk about this in a second, but they are in a complete and utter rebuild.
Now, and here's the thing.
And Tua is better than Daniel Jones.
Yes, Tua is better than Daniel Jones. They've got one side of the ball already fixed.
Yeah.
This is something too. It's a really, really nice free agent market. No state tax, beautiful weather in a fall-winter league. Believe me, there's a lot of guys in this league.
Oh, yeah.
If you got New York and that tax and that weather and you got Miami, Miami's always done fine in free agency. And is the Dolphins kicker pretty good as well? So if I have a defense and a kicker and I just have to solve the offense, I feel like as an offensive guy, that is a potential big hit.
Yeah, there's not as much to fix with the Dolphins than there is the Giants. Like, you can look at the two organizations and admit that. Yeah. There's more to fix with the Giants, and there's less pressure. Like, the Dolphins media is a little impatient, but it's not New York.
Right.
And so there's less pressure there as well. Dan Quinn has also reportedly told the Cowboys that he'll be staying with the team as defensive coordinator. So that is great news for the Dallas Cowboys that they won't be losing him because he completely turned that defense around. Okay, so the Giants will have to make a decision on Daniel Jones. His fifth-year option is this spring. And co-owner John Mara said that the team has unequivocally ruled out a trade for Deshaun Watson. He said there are so many reasons for the decision, citing the pending sexual misconduct allegations and salary cap implications. Watson's under contract for 4 years with a payout of $136 million, $34 million per year. He has a $35 million payout in 2022, but it could be converted to a signing bonus to lower the cap number. Joe Shane said the team will build an offense around Daniel to accentuate what he does best. Really, they just don't have a better option at this point, but they're in cap hell. They're projected to be $7 million over the cap for 2022. They have the fifth least amount of cap space in the NFL, according to Over the Cap. Evan Engram, Nate Solder, Billy Price, Austin Johnson, and Jabril Peppers are all free agents, and Saquon Barkley is entering the last year of his rookie contract because they picked up his fifth-year option last year. The draft will be interesting, though, because they have the fifth and seventh overall picks in the draft, as well as a second-round pick, 2 third-round picks, 1 fourth, and 2 fifths, and 1 sixth. So they have a bunch of draft capital.
Yeah, I think you got to move off Daniel Jones. I mean, I think we've seen 3 years. It's not getting better. He's not accurate. I mean, I don't see it. Listen, there are quarterbacks struggling in this league. Zach Wilson of the Jets is struggling, but he's got a hell of an arm.
Well,
he moves well. Yeah, but you can see glimpses of in. He plays too much hero ball.
Right.
He's not my favorite. But I can see stuff and go, oh, okay, that's big time. With Daniel Jones, I'm 3 years in. It's same mistakes, not a special arm. We all thought he was a reach. You can keep blaming everybody around him, and they certainly haven't done a good job of elevating his opportunity here. But it's folks, Justin Herbert had the worst offensive line in the league, and Anthony Lynn, who's hyper-conservative. By halftime of Justin Herbert's first game, we all went, okay, what the heck's going on? This kid's a star. You would see things.
Yeah, you don't see anything with Daniel Jones. You but don't. What are your other options?
I think I draft a quarterback.
You think the Giants would draft a quarterback?
I think you go after the kid from Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett. I really do. I think he's a more starts in college, better thrower of the football. If you don't get that right, what's next year going to be?
Well, the Giants just need so much that if you have Daniel Jones, I mean, if he's not going to be better than Daniel Jones, like, which you don't know, obviously, maybe he will, maybe he won't, why not rebuild the rest of the team?
Oh, because I don't think they're as bad. I think they have a corner I love, a defensive lineman I love, two receivers I like. I think they have a couple of offensive linemen. Their left tackle, I think, is going to – Andrew Thomas is really good. I think they've got five or six pieces. And I think if you get the right quarterback, he elevates those pieces. But the idea that you can build around and build around and build around and then we'll get to the quarterback –
it's also his, I mean, his career's kind of been squandered to start there. It's been a bit of a disaster.
It's sad, but it's a reality.
Yeah. So the Chiefs changed the play call at the last second that put them in the position for the game-tying field goal against the Bills. And Patrick Mahomes says Andy Reid encourages his players to take control when necessary.
There's a lot of that during the game. It's not necessarily on the field every single time. There's a lot of times we get back on that tablet, we talk about different routes that we have. The great thing about this offense is a lot of the stuff looks the same. It comes from different formations that we can kind of read off what the defense is doing. And everybody has their input. And I think that's what makes us such a great team and a great offense is that we have communication throughout the entire game. And then we go out there and execute at a high level because Coach Reed gives us that freedom.
I think you have to know your personnel. Andy Reid knows what Patrick Mahomes is capable of.
Yep.
He knows that there's trust between...
Yeah, I would trust him too.
Right. Like I would trust Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and they work a lot together and they have a great chemistry. So you can let players go out there and just play when they're at that level. Like, I'm sure that sounds good to a lot of players. Like, you don't want the structure
right.
And like, you know, but you have to earn that reputation. You have to earn that trust.
But you know, it's really interesting. This is where I think Mahomes... it's called EQ. There's IQ and EQ. I think Mahomes has a really high emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, I watch him after games and I watch him in the moment. This is what drives me nuts about certain quarterbacks that I just talked about, is that EQ is underrated. And Matt Stafford showed a lot of EQ in that Rams game. Everything's falling apart.
Russell Wilson has a lot of this.
A lot of this. I just am always taken by how disarming and how likable Patrick Mahomes is. He is on commercials. He's a star. There's pressure. He's got some family stuff that's just crazy town. And he's just such a disarming, likable, go with the flow, make it happen. I think we're looking at something really, really special beyond the obvious stuff that we can all see. I'm just always kind of taken by his maturity. He's got, you know, there's a lot of stuff moving around him, and he just always is just, this is what I always said about Dak. Dak was not given by the football gods, the genetically gifted arm, but some guy, now Dak had a whiff about 3 weeks ago, right? When he said that about the fans. But this is what I talk about all the time. This is a $500 million athlete. In fact, he will, if he stays healthy through the remainder of this contract, it'll be reworked. He's going to make $700 million in his life. That is overwhelming for a lot of people. He just handles it so well.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's been around sports too. You know, his father played, and you know, your experiences can help shape how you handle these things. But I also think, I really do believe that, you know, this next generation of quarterbacks, this next generation of athletes are going to approach things differently than, you know, kind of maybe around my age or a little bit younger, where we didn't grow up with social media. Like, we had to go through the bumps of this, you know, new technology and how to handle this onslaught of YouTube shows and like Sirius radio and podcasts. Like, there's so much more media now than there's ever been. It's not just a couple local newspapers and television shows.
No, no.
You're talked about all day, every day. So these younger guys have grown up with that being a reality, with the talk shows being a reality.
Yeah.
So how they approach their careers, I think, is a little different as well. But also just genuinely having an open personality. I don't necessarily think you have to be humble, but just be approachable, you know, just be aware of yourself. Self-awareness is so underrated.
Yeah.
You can be Joe Burrow, by all accounts, is extremely confident, but it's likable because he's self-aware about it. He's not throwing it in your face.
Yeah.
He's not trying to prove something to anyone but himself and his teammates.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
I never get into these, these TV ratings are good for this league and bad for this league, because all these leagues make their money. NBA ratings have been off for 2 years, and it's concerning, but they still got their money. Hockey ratings are in the tank. They have been forever. They have a huge Canadian contract with the league and a huge American contract. The only thing that works in American television anymore is sports. That is it. Cable TV, it's politics and sports. The only thing that works on linear TV is sports. The ratings are almost irrelevant. Do you want the NBA or not? Most companies would be like, if the NBA was available, we'd probably make a bid on it. I think CBS, NBC, we need stuff in the bandwidth tunnel. We need stuff. And so I don't, you know, all these people, the NBA's ratings. Yes, they're discouraging. And I do think sometimes they didn't navigate some of the social issues as well as they could have. It was a little clumsy. And, you know, I don't like players screaming at fans, KD and Kyrie and getting fined and dropping F-bombs at fans. I don't think that stuff's great. But in the end, the NBA is fine. But this is really amazing. This number is amazing. So Los Angeles and New York are very diverse cities. I mean, New York's got a massive Russian population. So they don't grow up with NFL football. In Los Angeles, the grocery stores, the restaurants, it's incredible the food options. There's nothing like it in America, like Los Angeles County food. I can eat anything, anytime, anywhere. I can go Chilean, anything. It doesn't matter. And that's what makes it such a vibrant art city. It makes it such a vibrant city. But when it comes to television ratings, it's easier to get a big TV rating for the NFL in Green Bay. It's not as diverse. Everybody's a Packer fan. Los Angeles got it. 66% of the TVs in Los Angeles were on the Rams game. The hell? let me tell you something. In the TV world, that is the power of the NFL and the Rams playing to the market with a lot of big stars and a lot of big swings. That is an unbelievable rating in this city. That would have been an unbelievable rating. Like when Johnny Carson was in his prime, you know, like in the 70s, you didn't even have, like, nobody was watching cable. You didn't have 500 channels. Like Johnny Carson would get like 70% of America's watching Johnny Carson. Those days are over. And they've been over in big cities for a decade, 2 decades. That is unbelievable. That is the power of building a glamorous stadium in a, I mean, this has always been a Laker, Dodger, USC town. The Rams didn't even play in LA. They played in Orange County. The most popular team in LA County was always the Raiders. 66% of televisions. There's 7,000 channels. There are millions of people in L.A. County. Their favorite football is the one where you kick it all the time. That is a testament to what the Rams have done. They have taken the Lakers, Jerry Buss way to do business. Build, you know, the Forum, the Staples. Get a cool stadium. It becomes a social event. It's great on television. Go get a star quarterback, a star center. Get a Shaq. Get a Kobe. Take big swings. Almost always get it right. I'm just shocked. I saw that thing this morning. Sam Farmer of the LA Times posted that. Thank you, Sam. Wow. That is it. In the TV, I'm very rarely impressed or shocked by a TV rating. And that is unbelievable. And it's a testament. They have really stolen what the Lakers did with the late Jerry Buss. I mean, he made the Laker girls, the Forum. He put the celebrities up front. Like he was decades before his time. He totally understood it was a television show. Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I know in a lot of these debate shows, these aren't fascinating topics, perhaps, but I love the next couple of weeks where you've got teams hiring GMs and coaches, and I was talking to GMs all day yesterday. Just, it's a fascinating time. I love this part of the business. When you got all these moving parts going around, Albert Breer's not moving. He's sitting Monday morning quarterback. Stuff is breaking as we speak. Okay, yep. My first takeaway, the one hire I know I like, is Denver. Nathaniel Hackett, dad was a coach, Paul Hackett. I think offense is the way to go. I think he's known as he did wonders with Blake Bortles. What do you think about it? What do you hear about him as a coach and as a guy?
I mean, he's really smart is the first thing. And I'm sure that that's what came across to George Payton and the Broncos staff in the interview. I think the other thing, of course, is developing quarterbacks and being able to work with different types of quarterbacks. And you remember all the way back in Buffalo, his first OC job in the NFL under Doug Marrone, he was trying to make it work with E.J. Manuel. And then he had to work with Blake Bortles. And so a lot of people, Colin, have talked about, well, it's Aaron Rodgers and he hasn't called plays. Well, he did call plays in Jacksonville. He did call plays in Buffalo. He was very innovative. And he was able to adapt what he did to work for Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, he was able to make it work in those places with a little bit less at the quarterback position. They got to an AFC championship game and really were pretty close to getting to the Super Bowl, too, in Jacksonville with Blake Bortles as the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so I think the ability to work with a quarterback, I think the intelligence, and then just the overall energy I think he'll bring to the building. Those are the three things, intelligence, energy, and the quarterback development piece. And then, of course, there's the obvious, which is why he's been connected to the Denver job in NFL circles going back to September and October, which is the connection to Aaron Rodgers should Aaron Rodgers become available in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. So, I mean, Aaron's, you know, bringing up retirement, more than a 75-year-old factory worker. Every week he's bringing it up. So, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think if you ask Green Bay where they could send Aaron, they'd be like, yeah, put him in Mahomes' division. Get him out of here. If they had to make a deal and Aaron demanded a trade, I honestly believe this is where Green Bay would want him in Denver. I really do. Yep. Your thoughts on that?
He was on their list last year. This would allow them to to kind of have an amenable breakup, you know, and I think that's what a team is looking for in a situation like this. Like if they come to the conclusion that this is it for Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay because of the cap situation, because some of the roster decisions they've got to make, well, you know, then I think you probably want Aaron Rodgers leaving Green Bay with a smile on his face.
Right.
The same way the Lions approached the thing with Matthew Stafford last year. We already know Aaron Rodgers likes Denver. He was on their list last year. And I think like when you look at the potential in Denver, it's towards the West Coast.
Yep.
He's from California.
Yep.
And you look at the roster, and I'll tell you, Colin, those you really kind of break down where they are right now and compare it to 2012 when they brought in Peyton Manning.
Yep.
It's not that different.
No. Nope.
Like you look got young ascending skill players like Judy, like Hamler, like Patrick, like Sutton, like Fant, like Javonte Williams. You've got a couple of nice pieces in a pass rusher and a corner on defense in Bradley Chubb and Patrick Surtain. And you see how this sort of can start to come together. And like, look, let's look at the reality of it too. The team's for sale. So if you're George Payton, you're Nathaniel Hackett, you're the team president, Joe Ellis, what better way to keep your job or put yourself in position to keep your job when the new owner comes in and say, we just traded for Aaron Rodgers. So I think for a lot of different reasons, if Aaron Rodgers were to come available, if the Packers were to trade him, I think Denver would absolutely be at the top of the list, and this is one more reason why.
Yeah, I'm excited. I kind of want him to go to Denver. I just think it's a great story. Now, we only have a minute and a half left. Mm-hmm. Matt Eberflus, really sharp, but he's a defensive guy. They've got Justin Fields. Part of me is like the NFC is dominated by offensive coaches. Part of me is very reluctant here, but everybody I know likes Eberflus. 90 seconds. What's your take?
Yeah, my take is his offensive coordinator hire is going to be pretty important. But Eberflus has been sort of through the hiring cycle a few times now. So he's got a defined vision for what he wants for his staff. On the offensive side, Colin, I would look for somebody from the Shanahan family. I think that's something that he would ideally want to do. I don't know if he'd be able to get Kevin O'Connell out of L.A., but if O'Connell doesn't get the Texans job, doesn't get the Vikings job, maybe Sean McVay allows him to leave to go call plays somewhere. That would be out of the conference. And I think having Kevin O'Connell, it wouldn't be out of the conference, but out of the division. Having Kevin O'Connell, I think, would be a big plus for Justin Fields. And then I think Eberflus is going to double down on what he knows on defense and probably bring some Colts guys with him. And so, you know, Eberflus is really sharp. But again, with every defensive coach, one of the big questions is going to be what you do with your offensive coordinator hire. And I would expect that he'll look deep into that Shanahan tree to try to find somebody to work with Justin Fields.
So interesting. All right. Go back to work, Albert. Your phone's buzzing. Appreciate it, bud.
All right. Thanks, Colin.
Yeah, it looks like Leftwich is going to get the Jacksonville job. I don't know. It's a big ask. That's a mess. But he is a quarterback, and I heard the Vic Fangio rumors to Jacksonville this morning. I started pulling my hair out. It's like, stop. I've seen this.
It's amazing how badly it went in Jacksonville. We forget Trevor Lawrence is there. Like, we talk about the team, we're like, it's a whole rebuild. Like, Trevor Lawrence is there in Jacksonville.
You almost owe him. Honestly, you owe him an offensive coach. Absolutely. To me, if I was Trevor Lawrence and you'd have hired Vic Fangio, who we both think is a great defensive coordinator. Great. Yeah. Not good.
I think he's a good coach overall.
But you owe Trevor Lawrence an offensive coach.
Yeah.
Now, Eberflus is highly regarded in the NFL. But I'm looking around this sport now.
He's just got to crush that offensive coordinator. Hire.
Yep. All right, this is very exciting. Greg Cosell's around the corner. I swear, it's just candy for me all day. It's lollipops and candy and caramels with all this stuff. Hour two is around the corner. Greg Cosell, good as anybody that's ever done it, makes us all smarter. What did he see? What's going to happen this weekend next?